Welcome back to the Yerucha program. We're going to be discussing Be'ezus Hashem in this segment, in this week's learning, the halachis of Gneivas Das. Gneivas Das is somewhat of a gray area because it does not fit into the first part of its name, which is Gneiva. Gneiva thievery should be a pretty straightforward concept. Embezzling, theft, damage, arson, looting, we understand all these concepts. Gneivas Das, the way the Gemara describes in Chul Daf Tzadik Dalet, which is playing an advantage, it's called Gneivas Das in the sense that you're playing an advantage of knowledge that you have and knowledge that somebody else doesn't have to pull some type of emotional advantage over him. The way the Gemara says it, we could play this out in our world in all sorts of more modern applications. The way the Gemara says it is that there was a Yid crossing one of the Amiroyim, was crossing a river, and he wanted better service, and he offered, they didn't have dollars and cents in those days, so he offered him as payment for the service a chicken, okay, piece of meat. He's offering him lunch. No difference in cash and the amount of lunch that you need that would cost that cash. However, the guy thought he was getting a Yiddish cut of meat. He thought he was getting a kosher meat, which is obviously more expensive than treifa meat. He gave him the service that reflects the upgraded pay. Now, the real truth of the matter is it didn't make a difference. It wasn't that he owed him that amount of money and he didn't pay, so you could look at that as not paying an amount of money. They didn't make up an amount of money. It's just that the guy automatically stepped up more to the plate. Or even if it's not a matter of providing service, the case is where you're honoring guests, and you tell them that you're serving kach v'kach, they feel like you're pulling out the red carpet for them, and they really appreciate it, and that creates a certain relationship. The truth of the matter is that you had just signed on a business deal, and you had this stuff out on the table anyways. It had nothing to do with them. The truth is that there was stuff that you opened because you're planning on making shalach manis with that very same bottle of wine or that cut of meat. It had nothing to do with them. You lead them on. You have the advantage of knowledge of them. That's called Gneivas Das. So you're really not stealing anything in terms of dollars and cents from somebody. What you're doing is you're stealing from him, so to speak, a certain emotional advantage. That's the textbook definition of Gneivas Das. And again, it's sort of a gray area, because is that real Gneiva? So the common wisdom, the common perception would be that it's a form of dishonesty, some form of dishonesty. Rashi seems to indicate in Chul Daf Tzadik Dalet that this is an Issur Derabbanan, because Rashi says in a case where the Gemara does allow, in a case where you feel that pulling the wool over somebody's eyes will actually be a benefit for him. It's something he needs. It's a certain level of attention and respect that he's craving. And you, Kilu, flatter him into thinking that you really did it for him and really you had 12 other cheshbonos. Why you were serving this meal or why the house was clean that day. It had absolutely nothing to do with him. But Eliza, you feel that's the right thing for him. It's going to give him a lift. The Gemara says you're allowed to. Rashi says that the reason why you're allowed to is Kovod HaBrius, and Rashi quotes an expression of Godel Kovod HaBrius, which is generic for Gemaras in other places in Shas, namely Brachas Daf Yutes, that talk about Dinim Derabbanan. The Gemara says that there's certainly Isurim Derabbanan that can be waived because of protecting somebody's dignity, and the Gemara uses that expression Godel Kovod HaBrius. So Rashi is quoting that wordage. Pashtus, he means that's only an Issur Derabbanan, and therefore the Issur could be waived because you're protecting somebody. That's what it would seem like from Rashi. However, like every other sugya in Shas, this is not the consensus. The Ritva, in his Chidushim in Chul Daf Tzadik Dalet, brings B'shem the Bali Tosfos. It's actually not found in a Tosfos anyplace. This is the opinion of the Smag. Just a little background. The Smag is one of the Svarim of the later Rishonim that codifies the opinions primarily of the Bali Tosfos. So sometimes something in the Smag or the Smak will be found, or let's say Marami Rutenberg, will be found in the Ritva or the Ran, and they'll quote B'shem Bali Tosfos. So here he quotes it in B'shem Bali Tosfos that Gneivas Das is an Issur Derais of Gneiva. It's a form of Gneiva. And this is almost something that would make you scratch your head. Is this Geneva? What's the Geneva inherent in pulling the wool over somebody's eyes? You're not doing a Maisa Geneva. There's no dollars and cents loss. There's no plus and minus in the dollars and cents column. So how could this be defined as Geneva? Perhaps we would shed a little bit of light on this by going back to a concept that we discussed in Gezel Akum, but this is a concept that, used properly, can elucidate exactly what we're talking about. And this is, there's a din in the Gemara, in the fifth parak in Bava Metzia, in Parak Ezer Neshel. The Gemara talks about a goyniv al menas lemekat. Goyniv al menas lemekat is somebody who takes somebody else's thing, not because he's planning on keeping it, not because he wants to use it or take somebody else's thing. He's trying to make him, trying to bother him. The primary expression of such an idea would be two bachim in a dormitory. The reason why that comes to mind is I'll share with the Eilim an interesting story. I know of a bachur in a dormitory that really wanted to, what we call, to chepper with the guy who sleeps next to him. He stole his expensive high-end headphones and his CD player. Of course, he has the guy looking under his pillow frantically asking, putting up Hashem Zaved, etc. He had the guy on wheels for 2 days. Finally, after 2 days, stigurishus, to put it mildly, after 2 days, the victim of the prank realized what was up because he sees one guy not warming up to looking for it. He has this smug look on it. He waits till the guy goes to seder. He pokes around. He finds it underneath the guy's socks. You know what he does? We know that a ganav is mechuyev kefil. Kefil is a knas, and the Gemara tells us that Bezdin Bizman HaZeh does not prosecute knas, only moment. But this guy had remembered, because he was lucky enough, they learned Bava Kama Uksubas Dadzman, that if one is toifis knas, if one makes his own judgment, and he's toifis kefil for knas, could be that he's allowed to hold on to the money. So what he does is then he goes and he grabs something worth that dollar amount. He takes back his own for the Karen, so to speak. Plus he grabs that guy's headphones and CD player. He says that's the kefil. So he'll have to keep her and have to hold the entire. Interesting case that one time happened in a dormitory in Yerushalayim. In any case, getting back to ours. That's a goyim al menas lemekat. Now the part of the question over there is a goyim al menas lemekat, is that a real ganav? For instance, let's process one of the nafkaminas. If Reuven steals from Shimon, to a certain degree, Reuven has removed that item from Shimon's possession. Shimon's ownership is now compromised to the extent where al pi halacha, Shimon can't sell. If Reuven stole Shimon's car while the car is still in the possession of Reuven before it was returned, Shimon cannot sell that car to Levi. A sale is null and void because it's not fully owned by Shimon. His ownership is compromised. What the Gemara calls Einei Bishusoi. He can't be Magdish it, and he also can't sell it. What about a Goyim al menas lemekat? Have I removed it by stealing something just because I want to chep it? I want to play a prank. Have I removed it from your possession? Quite possibly not. Quite possibly that Chefetz would not be Einei Bishusoi. And this is what the Rishonim point out when they say the Goyim al menas lemekat, the ganav might not be chayiv ba'oinsim. If it breaks, he might not be responsible. Because that level of responsibility springs from the fact that since the ganav removed it from the owner's possession, he's now fully responsible for it. Ganav al-Nasimeka doesn't have that. Because he didn't remove it from the owner's possession. He's planning on giving it back to him after the guy spends 2 days frustratingly looking for it. In discussing this concept of Goyim al menas lemekat, which is Gneva, some Rishonim hold that it's only Midrabbanan. Because you're not causing financial loss. You can't look at Goyim al menas lemekat in the sense of causing financial harm to somebody. You can perceive it as a form of wrongdoing because it's a Maisa Gneva. At the end of the day, you walked off with somebody's thing. It's not financially harming somebody because you're planning on returning it, but you are doing an act of thievery. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and the Minchas Chinuch suggests a chiddush. He says the Goyim al menas lemekat is toluy In another Gemara, the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Kamma, third parak, has an eye-opening chiddush. B'shem the Tana ben Bagbag. Ben Bagbag says that there's an act of gneva that's done, violated, if somebody, Reuven, crawls through Shimon's window and steals something. But listen to this. He's stealing his own. Shimon's holding on. He's climbing through the window to retrieve that which is his. Ben Bagbag says that's an act of gneva. Gneva is not about causing financial harm. Gneva is the act of, in an act of deceit, of climbing through somebody's window and with stealth removing something from somebody's property. That you've done even if you've removed your own. Again, we don't paskin that way because it's a chiddush. So the Mechaz Chinuch wants to say that if we reject the chiddush of Ben Bagbag, we don't hold of Goyinim Amanas L'Meikat either. Both of them, the Gneva is defined in the sense that you've done an act of deceit slash thievery without actually causing financial harm to somebody. Both of those go together. He explains over there a whole Shtigl Torah why the Rambam doesn't bring the din of Amanas L'Meikat because he doesn't pass in Ben Bagbag. The Smag clearly divides between the two. He rejects the opinion of Ben Bagbag La'alocha. He does bring Goyin Amanas L'Meikat. He holds it to Nisa Daraisa. Could very well be that the Smag was Mechadish over here. Well, when we go back to the Smag that we discussed in terms of Gneivas Das. What is Gneivas Das? Is it an act of financial wrongdoing? Hard to believe. What it is, however, is an act of deceit of taking advantage of somebody financially. That, yes. Does it cause financial harm? No. Is it an act of ramos, of deceit, which takes advantage of somebody? Yes. That's Gneivas Daraisa. The chiddush of the Smag, again, maybe some Rishonim don't accept that, but this is the opinion of the Smag, that's why the Zinis is there. L'fi the Minchas Chinuch's hypothesis, it could very well be, like we're saying, the Rambam wouldn't hold of Gneivas Das. If he doesn't hold of Goyinim Amanas L'Meikat, because that's thievery only in a moral sense, but there's no financial wrongdoing, because you're planning on giving it back, and he also doesn't hold of Ben Bagbag, because again, that's an act of deceit of slash thievery, but there's no financial wrongdoing involved. Then what about Gneivas Das? So we're saying this Smag, that Gneivas Das could be an act of thievery slash deceit, which would even play itself out on the level of Daraisa. But if we're saying, according to the Cheskenus hypothesis, the Rambam, that's not going to fly. What's fascinating is that if we open up a Rambam, we'll see the Rambam brings the sugya of Gneivas Das in a totally different context. The Rambam does not bring the halachas of Gneivas Das at all in the halachas of Gneivas Gzela. He brings in the halachas of Hilchas Deos. Hilchas Deos is the Rambam's section in Mishneh Torah for going through Midos. There's an act of moral, and the Rambam defines that in the context of being a moral person, who what you say is what you mean is what you say, you're a straight shooter, Toichei Kebaroi, you keep your word, you don't misrepresent what you mean to say. You don't talk echad bepev, echad belev. Part of being a straight and honest person is presenting things to other people, not taking emotional advantage of them. Presenting things to other people the way it is. Not making up something, not making up a narrative, besides for maybe a discussion of Mitvah Sheket Tirchok, which is Bechlal Not Shayach to Gneiva. But there's also a certain idea of taking advantage of somebody. That taking advantage of somebody by misrepresenting the reality of what you've done, of what you are doing, is a chesaron in midas. It could very well be that the Rambam rejected a categorization of the halachos of Gneivas Das as a form of gezel for this very reason. What financial harm are you causing somebody? But again, Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring it the way the Rambam brings it. Shulchan Aruch brings these halachos as part of ethical marketing techniques. It's a form or a quasi form of gezel, whether he holds it's deraisa, whether he holds derabbanan. Let's say it's derabbanan. It's some form of taking advantage of somebody. It's only a verbal taking advantage of somebody. But since you have something over somebody that was created through deceit, that is a quasi form of gezel. Okay, that's a machlok tushayim. Again, like we pointed out, to make a summary, Rashi seems to indicate clearly it's the Rabbanan. The Smag says Daraisa. The Rambam steers clear of whether it's Gezel, Daraisa, Rabbanan by categorizing it as something else. It's a chesaron in midah, it's a chesaron in honesty and decency. Chol has absolutely nothing to do with gezel. Now, geneva's das, in its rawest form, we've discussed the case in the Gemara, but this plays itself out the most prominently in client, employer type of relationships. If I hire somebody and I want to have an advantage, they should be eager. And I tell them, you know, out of the 35 people that I interviewed for the job, you're the one who makes the relation with me that you're going to go the extra mile. Isn't that obvious that you're going to want to keep that job and you're going to be pulling your weight doing overtime? When in reality, I interviewed two people. One of them barely knew how to read. The other one didn't know how to type. And that's the reason why I took you. Isn't that Gneivas Das? Am I stealing anything? No. It's not a matter of how much I would be paying you. I'm not misrepresenting how much work I want from you. But I do have a moral advantage over you, or an emotional advantage over you, that you're going to pull 110% because I told you a certain piece of information.
What about, just to add on, a very common, what about like promising growth? Everybody promising, not promising, but there's a lot of growth potential and there's a lot of, you know, and you could grow.
I'll say that right now.
Yes.
Another example that comes to mind, entering a business contract with somebody. Again, misrepresenting, I want to point out something that's important. Misrepresenting something, either the services that are rendered or the quality of the goods that are being exchanged, where the price or the quality of the goods is misrepresented, is gezel mamish. And that's, we have one area in halacha that's called mekachtos. We have another area in chayshim mishum that's called oino. We're talking about something that's more innocent, because not the price is different, not the goods are different, not the service is different. You want to sign on, you're a client. But what makes the difference between an eager client or between a client that's sort of weary and protecting his turf? So instead of just taking you on as a client, I promise you unlimited growth and I misrepresent numbers. It's not that you wouldn't have signed on. It's not that the contract is gezel. A contract that was signed under false pretenses is gezel. You wouldn't have signed. You wouldn't have paid. You wouldn't have done. You wouldn't have came. You wouldn't have provided. But where something is just a misrepresentation in order to make you more aboard, so to speak, and again, this is in a million different industries in a million different ways, then that is an act of Gneivas Das. Again, according to the Sfag, that might be that pulling the wool over somebody's eyes in a way that makes him pull 110% might be Gezel Daraisa. Rashi, Derabbanan. The Rambam, a very basic lack of midos and decency. Three ways of looking at this sugya. We might want to point out one interesting ramification of this machloikis. Comes Erev Yom Kippur. And maybe you even joined the Arucha program, so you've heard this year, and now you realize that the way you treated the guy sitting on the other side of the desk last year, February, was not the way the Rabban Shalom wanted you to treat him. And you want to do amends. You want to do what's right. Question. Is the wrongdoing that was done, is it Naveru ben Odom lachaveroi or ben Odom lamokin? If it's Gezel, you have to go and ask him Mechila. Gezel? It's been on lachaveri. If it's a chesaron in midos, a chesaron in honesty, a chesaron in choisomei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, you have to talk to the one above. You don't necessarily have to ask mechila from the guy who was sitting on the other side of the desk. That's just a small point that's negated in this discussion. We'll just point out one more point. The Taz and the Bach in Yeridei Kuf Chof discuss a case where a yid was holding on. As we know, unfortunately, in the Middle Ages, one of the only occupations that were open to Jews who wanted to make a few dollars was money lending. Investing, money lending, that type of thing. Providing currency. Because of that, very often Yidden were hated. And chayvos that were wanted to be gotten rid of somehow under the guise of religious whatever, the guy found a way to take care of erasing old debts. So one of the things that Yidden did to secure their investment, their debts, was they would take mashkoinos from goyim. So we have a Yid who had a mashkin of a goy. He has a collateral. He has the goy's gold tray. He has the goy's gold watch. Normally, using a mashkin of somebody, if it would be between two Jews, using a mashkin you're owned by somebody, even if he provided you the collateral in order to make sure that he pays the debt, you have to put that away for safety. Watch it. but not use it. He didn't give it to you to use. He gave it to you to hold on to as a security against his chayv. Well, what about a goy? When you're using that mashkin now, is anything wrong? So we could get involved in another discussion of Gnevas Akum, and there is a discussion over there. What's interesting is that the Bach calls it Gnevas Das. The Bach calls using the mashkin that was given to a yid by a goy Gnevas Das. And the Taz jumps on it. Taz is, remember, the son-in-law of the Bach. So he's jumping on his shver's pshat in the sugi over there, and he says, what does that have to do with Gnevas Das? Gnevas Das is not about financial wrongdoing. Gnevas Das is morally pulling the wool over somebody's eyes, taking emotional advantage. And obviously what the Bach means to say is that since you have possession of the mashkin, it can't be defined in any way, in any shape or form, that what you're doing is you're stealing from him. You're not stealing. You're holding on to something which you have legal rights to. You have legal rights to hold on to it and treat it as yours. The Gemara says that a balchoyv is kind of mashkin. Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Ches. Famous Gemara. A balchoyv has an actual ownership in the mashkin.